Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Blessed is the word of God.
Thank you, brother. And tonight we will study this paragraph and advance another little steps in the studies of the book of Galatians. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for his blessings as we study his word. Father, we come into your presence in the name of Jesus. And we pray the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scriptures, once again, may enlighten our hearts with the knowledge of God. And may we be satisfied with the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Just briefly, to give you a general panorama, the book of Galatians starts with two, first chapter 1 and chapter 2, with a personal information. And that personal information was about grace. And the Apostle Paul talks about a message of grace. And then later on, remember, he talks about the demonstration of grace as he preached it in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he defended that grace and makes a great exposition about how he, the Apostle Paul, had received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second section, chapters 3 and in chapters 4, talks about the marvelous doctrine that we have about salvation, especially justification. And finally, he talks about the practical stuff, what do we do with salvation. So we are here on the doctrinal area of the message to the Galatian church. Now, the Galatian church had this problem. The Judaizers, the major block that came into the church, infiltrated with false doctrines. Perhaps the pastors of the church never have knowledge of that. And little by little, they were teaching that in order for you to be a Christian, you need to fulfill the law of Moses. Now, we know that Abraham was commanded in Genesis chapter 17 to be circumcised. And so now, the people in Galatia were commanded, the Gentiles, if you want to be really a Christian, you have to go back to the law of Abraham and be circumcised if you want to be a Christian. And then if you want to have Christianity really real, you need to have a Passover lamb and all of these. Now, believe me, there is a church in San Francisco who asked me if we have a Passover lamb here. And innocently, I say yes, thinking on the Lord's Supper. And the person said, oh, you bring a lamb, and who's Lord of the lamb? Then I got the idea that they were talking physically. If I bring a lamb here, and Russell will cut the head, and we sprinkle the thing, and so on. And I said, no, we don't do that. That happened once for all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, oh, you are not fulfilling the law. Now, that was the problem with the church of Galatia. There were not only one church, but many churches. They have a big problem, and the problem is that the Judaizers believe that salvation was appropriated by circumcision. You need to circumcise that baby so that that baby becomes a part of the body of Christ. It's like some churches today. They said, you need to baptize this baby, otherwise the baby is not in the body of Christ. Well, the baby, if he was elected before the foundation of the world, he's in the body of Christ, regardless of what you and I said. And one day, if the baby is elected before the foundation of the world, one day the baby will know Jesus and will come to Jesus. Not because of the baby, but because of the grace of God and the power of God. Not for what I do or what I can do for the baby, but because what God has done for that baby, has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. So my protection on babies is not me or the church, is God, God himself and his mercy. But this church was really in fighting. And now Paul then presents the argument that salvation is appropriated, justification is appropriated when that faith of God comes into our heart. A faith that is personal, one by one. A faith that is internal, is generated from inside. No, not from what I do outside you, but it's generated from inside. And a faith that is a spiritual, had nothing to do with the physical part of your body, had to do with the spiritual part of your body. Now, such faith, said the Apostle Paul, is equally demanded, not only of the New Testament people, but also of the Old Testament people. And when I saw that, I said, I want to see it. Put one hand in Galatians chapter 3 and go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. And let me show you the people of God in the Old Testament. They were saved by faith equally as we are. They were not saved by circumcision or by any work they have done. For example, let's talk about Abel. Remember the Abel in Genesis chapter 4? He brought the lamb to the Lord. He was not saved by the lamb that he brought to the Lord. Look at in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 4. Look at what the scripture said. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith. It's not that the lamb was better than the fruit of the earth. It is by faith. He learned from his father and mother that God required the shedding of blood and sacrifice, and he did it, just as his father and mother had told him. Now, you can go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and look about Noah. How Noah was saved. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. By faith, he believed what God told him about the waters to come. What about Moses? Look at in chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, Moses did all of this. And what about Abraham? Verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for inheritance, obey by faith. It was not by circumcision, nor by something that we have done. There was a faith created inwardly in the individual, and suddenly the individual believed what God said. So Paul now is thinking, how am I going to say this to this church so that they will think? And so he presents an argument in this way. First, he tells them what true faith does, verses 6 to 9. Then, he tells them what work cannot do, verses 10 to 12. And then, he tells them what faith in Jesus Christ can do for you. All right? So three things he's going to say to them. What true faith does. Number two, what works cannot do. And number three, what Jesus will do for you. Let's see what true faith does. All right, we're in Galatians chapter 3. Let's take verse by verse and see it clearly. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, you put one hand in Galatians, you go all the way to Genesis chapter 15. This is when Abraham believed God. Genesis chapter 15. And look in verse 6. God takes Abraham out to see the stars of heaven, and he tells Abraham, Verse 5 said in Genesis 15 that he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now Abraham had to believe that gospel. And look at what verse 6 said. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. At the moment that the word of God was speaking, you know how faith comes from, you know? You know where faith comes from. The Bible said faith comes from hearing the word of God, all right? And so at the moment that God was speaking to him, the word of God was there, all right? And that word of God created in his heart faith. And so Abraham believed, all right? So verse 6 is the relationship of salvation. My relationship to justification, to salvation, is not by works. It's by a faith that God has created in me. And when God shows me his gospel, that gospel creates in me faith, and I believe in him. By the way, Abraham believed in God 40 years before he was circumcised. So circumcision cannot be his salvation. 40 years before Genesis 17, Abraham believes God. Now look in verse 7. The harmony of our salvation is here in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they who are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Your Bible says the children of Abraham, but the scripture, the original, have the capital weos, which means sons, in the full sense of sons of God. This is the harmony of our salvation. Now, what this text means? Put one hand in Galatians and go to the next book, Ephesians chapter 2, and look in verse 8, a verse that you know very well by heart, and look what the scripture says. Here is the harmony of our salvation. Abraham believed God after God spoke to him and faith was created in his heart. He believed God. And so with us, look at it in Ephesians 2 and in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Is that clear? It just clicked perfectly. Abraham, this is the harmony of salvation. And Paul is saying, now what happened to Abraham could happen to you. When God's grace comes into your life, you believe. I said tonight we have an exhausted 2 hours dissertation on only one point on those question and answer, and the evidence of Jesus coming was the question. 2 hours, and we just stop a little bit for here, and we continue, and we show the evidence of his coming. And then I say clearly, now nobody believes this unless God reveal it to your heart. It's not by science or by reasoning or by any mathematical discovery. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when he, God, and his mercy illuminate your heart, and you are inclined to believe what the scripture said. That's the way of God's word. And so verse 6 is a relationship to our salvation. It's nothing to do with our works, according to Abraham. Verse 7 is the harmony of our salvation. Abraham was saved by the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of God. Now verse 8 in Galatians chapter 3, the consistency of our salvation. Look at the consistency of our salvation. Verse 8 said, and the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. You hear that word? Look at it in your Bible. Preach unto Abraham the gospel, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, let me show you. There is a verse in the Bible that clearly spells this. It's Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 2. In Hebrews, in chapter 4, and in verse 2, look at what the Bible said concerning preaching the gospel. For unto us was the gospel preached. That's Paul and people in his generation, or the author of the book of Hebrews, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit, unless what? Not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. And so when God talked to Abraham, he talked the gospel. When God talked to you, he talks to you about the gospel. That's what I said this morning. If I preach any other thing that non the gospel, then the salvation of God did not have its channel. Oh, you can have people enthusiastically endorse a religion, but you will not have people saved unless I tell you the gospel. Unless I tell you that if you live in the state in which you are born, one day there will be a day of judgment. And on that day, doesn't matter how wonderfully you live in this world, doesn't matter how good works you think you have done in this world, on that day, if you have not the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled in your heart, you're going to hell forevermore. Now that's the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, this is not a new thing. People said, oh, this is the gospel of grace. Well, the people in the Old Testament also have the gospel of grace. God, when talked to them, not only talked to them, but pushed them to believe. That's what grace is, by the way. You know what grace is? Grace is that you read the Bible, you say, oh, I believe it. Somebody read it before you, he doesn't believe it. Now, why you believe it, and this other person who read the same scripture will not believe it? Because God has given you grace to believe. That's what it is. And that's what the Apostle Paul tried to deal with these people. It is not by our works, guys. It is by the grace of God. He touched our heart. He touched our mind. And now we believe it. So verse 8, there is a harmony. There is a consistency in our salvation. Look at verse 9. This is to me the confirmation of our salvation. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's the confirmation of our salvation. It's not Abraham is a Jew, and I am a Gentile, and I'm a different kind of person. No, I'm a child of God as well as Abraham is a child of God. Now, Paul deal with that in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 11. In Romans chapter 4, and in verse 11, Paul said these remarkable words. And he received, talking about Abraham, the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. In other words, whatever he received in circumcision, he already had it. That he might be the father of all of them that believe, though they be not uncircumcised, be circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, or justification might be imputed to all the people. Now, what Paul is saying is very, very important. He's saying, here is the confirmation of our salvation. Now, Abraham was circumcised, but whatever he got a circumcision, he already had it. And so, therefore, Abraham is the father of our faith. When you as a Gentile became a Christian, you're a Gentile and you're a Christian, and Abraham was a Jew and he's a Christian. Now let me put it in this way. When a Jew is saved, he's saved as a Jew. When a Gentile is saved as a Gentile. This business of Christian Jew, that's wrong. That's you, wrong. A Jew is saved, he's a Jew, but he's saved. A Gentile is saved as a Gentile. And no one from either group is saved or not saved due to racial or ethnic identity. You got it? You are not saved because you're a Jew. You are not a child of God because you're a Jew. You're a child of God because the grace of God have dwell in your heart, and now you know the scripture. So there is no a superiority in the races of this universe. It's just salvation doesn't depend on race. Those who are saved because of their faith in Christ Jesus, and those who are lost because of their unbelief. That's it, period. Consequently, there is no advantage for a Gentile in becoming a Jew in order to be saved. That was the argument. He's saying to the people, now if this is so, if this is that Abraham have no better position than we have, then if this is so, what is the advantage of becoming the Jew and go through the law in order to be saved if we are saved equally to Abraham without the law and without circumcision? So he presented a clear argument to me through faith, what true faith does, through faith brings you to God, whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile. But that true faith has a condition. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, God, if He is pleased, He zero in that grace on your life, and suddenly you believe it. And when you believe it, nobody takes away, because faith is a gift of God. God gave it to you. Now, verses 10 to 12 deal with this heavy argument, what works cannot do. Verse 10, whether Old Testament or New Testament saints, works cannot save you. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, he's saying, number one, whether you are in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, saints' works cannot save you. Now, he dwells, this statement comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And there is where this statement is made in verse 26. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Here's what the Bible says there. Cursed be he who confirm not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people say amen. You heard the scripture? It's a curse. It says anybody doesn't follow the law to the line. Now, I have news for you. Look at what James 2 and verse 10 says. If you go to the book of James in the New Testament, in chapter 2, in verse 10, the book of James said this, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offended in one point, he is guilty of all. And so the Apostle Paul is saying clearly, whether you are an Old Testament saint or you are a New Testament saint, works can save you. Because if you try to fulfill the law and you miss one point, you miss all the points, so the law cannot justify you. So what work cannot do? Works cannot save you. Now, verse 11 in Galatians chapter 3. Whether Old Testament saints or New Testament saints, justification must be always by faith. Look at what verse 11 said. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, you heard that scripture three times in the Bible, and I don't want to look on it, but I tell you. You can look it in your home. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Let's look in one. Romans chapter 1 in verse 17. Romans chapter 1 in verse 17. Seems to me that the Apostle Paul loved this statement. And Romans 1, 17 said, for it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, he makes a quotation of Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And the next time you see that scripture is in Hebrews 10 and in verse 38. And so here is the clear statement. Justification always, all the time, must be by faith. You cannot say, I'm a Christian because I'm living a good Christian life. No, come on, that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is the work of God in your heart that caused you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes you a Christian is your faith placed upon the holy person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what keeps you as a Christian is that faith given unto you in Christ Jesus, not your good works. Now, that doesn't mean that we as a Christian do not live as a Christian. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you try to live as a Christian to gain heaven, that's wrong. And that's what those people were trying to do. You live the Christian life holy because the Bible said, be holy as I am holy. And you cry to the Lord and ask the Lord for His grace to do so. But you don't work your Christianity up. Like some people say, you do good works and you have more points in Christianity. No, no, sir. The Christian life is also lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. And then verse 12 conclude what work cannot do. Verse 12 in Galatians 3 said, and the law And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. So salvation by the law and salvation by faith are mutually exclusive. They don't mix. You can't mix works with faith. You can't mix it. You can't put it together. You can't say, well, I do this work and I believe this. Either you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or you are not. Very serious business. So then the apostle concluded what faith in Jesus can do. Verse 13 and 14. Look at verse 13. Christ justifies those who believe in him. Look at verse 13. Christ have redeemed us. You know, redeemed means in the Bible, means he bought us back. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hung on the tree. Now, how did Christ justify those who believe in him? He bought us from slavery and from sin. How? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 explained in verse 18 and 19 how Christ bought us back. Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, bought back, with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Is that clear? Our salvation had nothing to do with our works. Our salvation depends on that price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid on Calvary cross, on the cross, hanging on the tree, said the scripture. And so therefore, my justification depends on what I believe, not on what I can do. That's very important. Now, it is easy to preach a religion in which you have to do this and you have to do the other. Most of the world religions are based upon that. If you say so many Marys, and if you go around the building seven times, and if you go with your knees walking until the top of the altar, and all kinds of things man have created, if you give this kind of donation to the church, and if you do this and the other, mankind trying to find justification have created all kinds of things. They're worthless. They are like dirty rags to the book of Isaiah. And so Christ justified those who believe in him. And that's very, very important. Outside that, there is nothing that can justify your life. And then verse 14 said that Christ's sacrifice was total for all men. There's nothing to do again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ's sacrifice was total and was complete. Now, how do we receive those blessings? Christ brought the blessing of Abraham to the Gentiles. Christ brought the blessing of Abraham to the Gentiles. So, you know, that teaches you that there is no a future for Israel as a nation. It's a future for you and for me in the very presence of God. When Christ came, he put together Jews and Gentiles in one faith, Christianity. And there is no farther future for anybody as a racial people. The future is for us as believers. Now look, here's the future of Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 9 and verse 10. Here's the future of Abraham. Look at what he looked for. Hebrews 11, verse 9 and verse 10. By faith, talking about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so Abraham was not looking to dwell forever in the land of Palestine. No, no, no. Abraham was looking to dwell forever in a city which foundation were laid by God in heaven. And now when you read verse 14, the Bible said, the blessings of Abraham, the blessing that God gave to Abraham said, might come to the Gentiles. And the only way that blessing of a heavenly place given to the people who believe in the Old Testament, the only way those blessings could come to the Gentile is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's what Jesus said, I am the way. So, we would ask tonight, point blank, what about Mormonism in our class? Point blank. And I said, what about it? Then the person who asked the question said, well, they have other things than the Bible. Are they wrong? What do you say? Well, I don't say anything. Revelation 22 say enough. If you add to this book, if you take away from this book, what? Gone. So you got the answer that God gave us. Now, any Mohammedism, Buddhism, any ism that comes in, they have to create something. If you have something other than Christ, believe me, you are in the wrong way. You are in the wrong track. You have to come back to Christ. You have to ask for mercy, that God will give you a light into this. So here is the argument of the Apostle Paul. You people believe in circumcision. You people believe in having the lamb here slaughtered again and offering the lamb. But you're all wrong, because if you do all of those things in order to be a Christian, you never make it. The Jew never make it for that. That's why God sent Christ to die on the cross. When we believe in him, all these things were fulfilled in the person of Christ. Read the argument. So how do we close then a sermon like that? I think a resume of the glorious work of Christ is in the book of Jude. One of those days I will teach the book of Jude, just one book before the book of Revelation. In verses 24 and 25, here's a great conclusion that brings glory to God. The book of Jude, at verse 24, now the writer said, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. It not makes you tremble? And to him that is able to present you, Gabriel Otero, with all his mistakes and sins and things like that. And to you, Gabriel Otero, who is able to present you before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Why are we trying to create different ways when we have a way? I know why. Because we're sinners. And what that means? We're separated from God. We are dead in our heart. We have no consciousness of God. No idea of God. As I said in my class at 4 o'clock, I'm reading this Bible, I believe it. I don't know if the next person believe it. But I believe it. And because I believe it is good to me. But I know one thing. If I read the scripture and I present the work of Christ, if God is pleased, this person is going to believe, and the other person is going to believe, and the other person is going to believe. That's the only way that we can see God one day. May God bless us that we never, never dare to believe in works, but rather in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the exhortation of the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the clarification that he made. We are in Abraham blessed. So we don't have to be a Jew. We have to believe Abraham believed. And so, Father, I cry for mercy that many may believe when we proclaim the gospel. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. All right, then, we should sing 236, at least one stanza. No? What number? The new revelation came from heaven, 496. All right, Pastor has been corrected here. 496. All right, victory in Jesus. Thank you, my wife. That's a good one. I think Russell liked that one. 496. Let us stand as we sing first and last stanza together.
praises to your name. And so, Father, Lord, thank you. Say, thank you for giving us a day like this. Cause us tomorrow to shine for Christ, that people may see in us Christ and glorify your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.